Stop me if you heard this one. The Chiefs are in the AFC title game. Our guest is a returning champ with Jeff Fedotin, hosts the outstanding Believe in Chiefs podcast. He's also the Penn Quaker, Philly area guy, played for that 93 Chiefs team who made the AFC championship game. On Twitter, use the handle at JoeValerio73. Joe V, welcome back. How's life treating you these days?
Steve, it's great to be back with you, and thank you so much, and you know, appreciate that introduction. But you know, going along with the song, the George Harrison song, "What Is Life?" Life is AFC NFC Championship weekend. That's life. it's exciting stuff.
It sure seems to fit our narrative, no question about it. So it was 30 years ago, I mentioned, the team with Joe Montana played at Rich Stadium against the then AFC champion Bills. Last week, Mahomes and the Chiefs knock off Buffalo at now Highmark Stadium. Joe, what about how this team responded to march into hostile territory, you know, kind of chomping at the bit? You knew the Bills were dying to get them in Western New York.
Yeah, Matt, first of all, I can't believe it was 30 years ago. That kind of blew my mind when I really sat and looked at a calendar and thought about that. But nonetheless, let's put the 30 years behind us. And, you know, look, it was a loss that the Chiefs organization wanted to avenge. I mean, it's something we've been talking about. And it's so funny because Jeff and I were talking on the podcast about before the game, we were talking about how hostile it was to go there. And we used to have an over and under pool on the bus ride in on how many middle fingers we were going to get shot at by the Buffalo fans and how many snowballs were going to hit the bus on the mile drive in. There was like a really long driveway that used to go into Rich Stadium. And the funniest thing, coincidentally, Chiefs players were talking about the same thing after the game. So in 30 years, nothing's really changed with Bills Mafia. It's still a hostile place to play. And I think, I think the Chiefs went into that game ultra prepared to stop Josh Allen. And, I think the fact that the Chiefs were playing a little bit more hot football than Buffalo. I think Buffalo, pound for pound, I think they were the hottest football team going into the playoffs. I really do. And I think the Chiefs, though, just had this dormant, offensive firepower just kind of hiding and in waiting. And I think they used it, and they were able to stop Josh Allen. So it was a good formula for success.
Joe, I'm curious, more middle fingers from Bills fans or Jets fans? Because, you know, me being from that part of Jersey, that's kind of our thing.
Right, Steve? Listen, I'm in Philly. I'm in Philly, so we invented it. I mean, they don't call it the Philadelphia salute for nothing. And, it's a tough East Coast place to play. You know, the weather's usually inhospitable. And, listen, Bills fans are fantastic. If you play in Buffalo, it's a great place to play. Don't get me wrong. I mean, those fans are fanatic. And you know what I like about the Buffalo fans? They follow that team, good, bad, or indifferent, which is kind of nice. It's kind of exciting. I think they're two great organizations. I'm a big fan of Josh Allen's. I'm a fan of the workaday attitude that the Buffalo Bills and their fans take to football. So, it was a great game. I think it lived up to its billing. And it was, obviously for us following the Chiefs, gives us another week of things to talk about. And for Chiefs fans, gives them one more AFC championship to head towards.
You know, I want to get to the KC offensive line because, they brought in the two new tackles, Donovan Smith from Tampa, Juwan Taylor from Jacksonville. You know, you've had the mainstays in the middle, Humphrey at center. But now we learn that Joe Tooney, one of the guards, is doubtful. So how concerning is that for a line that, Joe, I thought they were really coming along as the season got late?
Yeah, it was a rocky start for the tackles, let's be honest. I mean, I don't like speaking disparagingly of my fools. We call ourselves the fools, right? The fraternal order of offensive linemen, right? I got to say, those two tackles were struggling, especially Juwan with the penalties and getting his footing on, he was jumping off sides and he was getting used to Patrick's snap count and he was trying to get a jump on some of these great defensive rushers and these edge rushers. But you're right. You absolutely nailed it. They definitely were playing better and pulling things together towards the end of the season. Of course, as the year goes on, you have this attrition, and now we got Joe Tooney. But I got to tell you, Nick Allegretti, another Italian kid, wears number 73, catches touchdowns from time to time. So, you know, just like we had a chance to meet up a couple years ago at one of the alumni games. It was a real treat to meet him and share the stories about him catching touchdowns and also wearing number 73. But I think the team has full faith in Nick. I watched him play at the end of that game last week. He really played well. I mean, he had pretty much the block that sealed the game on the Pacheco run that sort of put the game out of reach for the Bills and kind of sealed it all up. But he also had some tremendous blocks throughout the game, filling in for Joe. So I think they're not going to miss a beat with Nick. Of course, are they going to miss Joe? Yeah, he's an all-pro, consistent. You know, he's got championship DNA. But I'll tell you, Nick is going to do – I know he's going to do a great job. And I think if the tackles keep playing well, you know, it should be a pretty solid game for them up front.
By the way, for folks who are wondering, Joe, alignment and touchdowns, Joe had 4 touchdowns in his NFL career. So I just wanted to offer a little bit of clarity there as we continue.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Steve. Yeah, I lived every lineman's dream for sure. You know, I paid a lot of fines and took the quarterbacks out for a lot of dinners. You know, I think it was the one time, you know, Joe Montana didn't pay for dinner when we all went out as an offensive line group was when I was scoring touchdowns from him. But, yeah, so he was a piece of work. But, yeah, this is a great – I can't believe this team has been to 6 straight AFC championships. I mean, that is just – boy, talk about a fan base getting spoiled, right? I mean, it's just amazing.
I got it. We're talking with the pride of Ridley High, PA, Joe Valerio of Believe in Chiefs. I got to ask you about Travis and Taylor because I am never cease to be amazed by what knuckleheads people can be. Like these, you just mentioned, a team who wins Super Bowls, goes to conference championship games, are going to let things slip because of a girlfriend. And one of the things I've been telling people, Joe, you realize it's the director showing the shots. It's not Andy Reid's call. So
right.
I'm kind of curious, what do you make of this insanity? And, you know, and all we ever learn about this young woman, she just seems to be this wonderful human being.
Yeah, absolutely, right? I mean, think about that, right? Everybody wants to pin it on the Chiefs organization. You know, they want to, pin it on the NFL and Roger Goodell, and now there's a script written that, you know, they're going to want the Chiefs to win this game because they're going to want to be able to show Taylor Swift in the stands, you know, for the Super Bowl while Usher's performing. But, like, you know, it is pretty wild because, you know, there's 53 guys on the roster. They have family members, they have significant others, they have wives, girlfriends, children, whatever, parents going to the game. And, like, you know, there's a lot going on for players, you know, as it relates to that. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's his girlfriend and they're dating and they're having a good time. And I don't know what the big deal is. It's for me, actually, I look at it as something that's really cool. Like, she's bringing a level of notoriety to the team and people should be celebrating it and not, you know, dissing on her, dissing on Travis. So I think it's really cool. I'll tell you, Steve, funny story. We were at the alumni game this year, and we had our family out for the game. And, of course, we all wanted to make sure we got to spy on Taylor a little bit. And she actually was sitting in the suite above where we were sitting. And it was so funny because, you know, you get all these macho guys who want to say, oh, you know, it's taking away from the game that everybody's focusing on Taylor Swift and showing cutaways, you know. And guess what? Every time Travis Kelce made a catch, guess who were the people taking their phones, turning it around, getting pictures of Taylor Swift? All these macho guys who were the ones complaining about it. So I wanted to yell at every one of them and say, hey, knock it off. You know, you're guilty of the same exact things you're complaining about. So knock it off. But I think it's great for the NFL. I think it's great that, you know, it's attracting, maybe it's attracting a new fan base for the NFL, which is only good, right? Can only be good for them.
Yeah, I said if it was, you know, the late 60s, early 70s, and Lennon and McCartney were at the game, you think the director would be getting shots of them? So
right, exactly. It's no different.
It's amazing. I want to get to the receivers. You know, part of the early narrative was some of the drops, the infamous offsides by Kadarius Toney. But I'm looking now with the emergence of Rashee Rice. I think Travis is 100% healthy. Valdes-Scantling had two nice plays last week. You think Mahomes has, you know, taken a while, but finally gotten a little more in sync with his targets.
Yeah, see, that's a good point. And I've got to say, like, you know, you always kind of want to brag about the things that you have the receipts for, right? And if listeners go back and listen to Jeff Fedotin and our podcast, the way that we talked about Rashee Rice, we kind of called this. You know, we were very early on when things were getting a little rough for the receiving core and for the Chiefs passing game. Both Jeff and I said to our listeners, if the Chiefs would only focus on Rashee Rice and make him their number one, things would be a lot better. You know, it sounds like we're bragging and patting ourselves on the back, but it was really true. We said it very early on. Well, not early on in the season, but early on in the process when things were going wrong. We said the Chiefs need a number one, and both Jeff and I felt like it was Rashee Rice. We felt like what he was doing and the speed and his reliability he was showing early in the season, we said, just make him your number one guy. Make other teams focus on him, bracket him, do whatever they have to do. Takes a little pressure off of Travis, allows you to run the ball a little bit better, gives the other receivers a little bit more, you know, gives them some more options and opens the playbook up for Patrick. And it seems to be the formula that's working. And I think the Chiefs finally have that formula working for them right now as they're going in at the time when you want it to be working, right, when you get into playoff time. So, you know, I think Matt Nagy and Andy have really figured it out. And, you know, a lot of Chiefs fans are hoping that that momentum carries them through this AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I think people weren't aware that, you know, his last year at SMU, he had like 100 catches for 1,400 yards. I mean, he's a mega talent. Couple final thoughts, Joe Valerio, Believe in Chiefs, part of the Believe Network. Certainly, the Chiefs always have the spotlight on the offense, but they're second in points allowed. I'm an old Giants fan, always indebted to Steve Spagnuolo for the job in beating the Pats in the Super Bowl. What about the job he's done kind of building what I want to kind of call him an attack-style defense?
Man, that's a great point. It is an attack-style defense. I think the one thing they're going to have to be really careful with, though, this week against Lamar Jackson is getting after him too much. And I think they're going to have a very disciplined pass rush. We've been touting that all week. If, you know, what's this Chiefs defense need to be successful is they're going to have a very, very disciplined approach to keeping Lamar Jackson in the pocket. They can't do the traditional around-the-edge rushes, you know, trying to get penetration with the tackles up the middle, because you know what that does. It creates seams. And if you've got a guy like Tom Brady who's, you know, mobile in the pocket, but he's not a runner, fine. That's a fine way to rush the passer. You know, even guys like Joe Montana were rushed effectively that way. But Lamar Jackson, you can't rush him that way. They're going to have to be very slow in their rush. They're going to have to get in his face. You know, whether they spy him or not, you know, Willie Gay's not, you know, 100%. But I don't even know, as athletic as Willie Gay is, I don't know how effective he could be as a spy against Lamar Jackson. The guy is so fast. He's so elusive. And I think they're going to have to do it with their four-man rush. They're going to have to keep that pocket very contained. You know, sometimes you hear it referred to as a mush rush, right, where you just kind of march up the field a little bit and you don't let anybody create those seams, keep them contained. I think that's what Steve Spagnuolo is going to have to do, and then he's going to have to throw an occasional blitz in there. But the problem with Lamar Jackson, if you get too much man coverage, especially if you're blitzing guys, you know, because what basically they'll do is they'll run everybody off, and then they'll give, you know, Lamar Jackson 10, 15-yard gains if he just steps up in the pocket and runs. So, Steve's got his work cut out for him. I think this is going to be his biggest challenge of the year. And, you know, because that's been a little bit of the Chiefs' Achilles heel has been the run game. And, you know, as we know, Ravens coming into this game are the number one rushing team in the NFL.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to close with. I mean, the Ravens have that historic kind of statistical anomaly where they've, you know, they're number one in points, number one in takeaways, number one in sacks. So everybody always have a vision of how things will go their way. So when you look at Andy and Patrick Mahomes in this offense, how do you envision them having the necessary success against that, you know, borderline terrorizing Baltimore defense?
Yeah, I mean, number one team in sacks. They're the number one team in sacks when they and they're the number one team in sacks when they rush only four guys.
Yikes!
So it tells you that they don't need to blitz all the time, you know. And you're playing with two tackles who started the season suspect, right? You got a new left guard in there, and Nick Allegretti. You know, they're going to be coming after Patrick, and it's going to be incumbent on him to really try to find his pocket within the pocket, step up and see what he can do to stretch the team, you know, more horizontally than vertically. You know, the Chiefs they're not a vertical stretch team, right? They're going to do more horizontal stretch. You know, they're going to try to use the whole 50 yard sideline to sideline to try to keep Travis open and you know, get Rashee Rice crossing the field, you know, and then that'll hopefully opens things up for the running game, Isaiah Pacheco. So they're going to have to throw everything, that entire playbook. I mean, I'm sure Andy's been in the lab cooking some trick plays up to keep them off guard. They usually do, which is okay, right? You know, you gotta give the Ravens defensive coordinator something to think about. So, you know, but they are going to have to try to establish something in the run game so that, you know, they can't just, you know, sit, you know, eight guys back and only rush four for the entire game, because that's probably not going to be a great recipe for the Chiefs. They're going to have Isaiah Pacheco's going to have to get his legs going, so they have to start putting, you know, maybe put seven up in the box and try to, you know, maybe even eight in the box if the running game gets really effective, and then that might open things up for the Chiefs. So I think it's going to be a great chess match between a lot of great coordinators.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Folks, he's Joe Valerio with another friend of our show, Jeff Fedotin, does the terrific Believe in Chiefs podcast on the Believe Network. Keep up on Twitter. Use the handle at JoeValerio73. Hey, Joe, always fun having you. Appreciate the time, your unique insight. Enjoy the game. Be well. Of course, look forward to talking again down the road.
Look forward to it, Steve. Have a great one. Enjoy the great weekend.
All right, you too. Take care, Joe.